The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Thanks so much for joining me for today's episode of Climate Matters. I'm Lindsay Wood from climate strategy company Resilience Limited, and Climate Matters is brought to you by Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. Not only is Climate Matters going out to the people of Canterbury through Plains Media, but it's also being picked up for the Wairarapa community by Arrow FM. So a special welcome to all your Cantabrians and all the Wairarapa folk. I do hope you enjoy Climate Matters. If for some reason you want to find back copies of Climate Matters, you can stream them off the Fresh FM website, freshfm.co.nz. And for example, today's episode is the second of two interviews with scientist and climate activist Jim Sinner. And you can find the first interview, which was just a couple of weeks ago, on the Fresh FM website. Jim today will be picking up and expanding more on the Swap One initiative that has just been launched. You may remember last time he outlined that he will give a little bit of an update again today. Then he will go into more detail on some of the details of how it works. And just a preface comment for all you good people in Canterbury and the Wairarapa, please bear in mind that although this is an initiative that started in Nelson, it's set up in a way that anybody can join from any area. You just have to go on the Swap One app. We'll give directions for that. And then also it can be done individually. And if you want to, you can also, if there's a group or an enthusiastic core of people in your region, you could have a Wairarapa section or a Canterbury section in the app. And if that was of interest, please do contact the people that are running Swap One. I know they'd be pleased to discuss with you how it can be customized to have a local regional presence instead of just all appearing on the Nelson version. And a quick stop press item, I've already mentioned the Nelson Tasman Climate Forum's Climate Action Week. That is partway through. There are still lots of great events this week. So if that's of interest to you and you're not already on board, then go to nelsontasmanclimateforum.nz. That's all one word. And then you'll find there under their events page, there is a complete section on the Climate Action Festival 2025. Do get involved. There are great events, including, I should say, several online events. So wherever you're picking up this episode, you will be able to go onto the Climate Forum's webpage and join into the online events. I know, for example, there's definitely one on Friday the 24th around lunchtime because I'm one of the co-presenters of that, and that's an online event itself. So anyway, make the most of this opportunity. It's a great festival, and I'm sure you'll find something of interest in it. But there are only a few days left. Anyway, that's enough from me, and let's get going and listen to what Jim Sinner has to say. Well, it's lovely to welcome back Jim Sinner to the second of the two interviews with Jim. Lots more to chat about, haven't we, Jim?
We certainly do. It's nice to be back with you again, Lindsay.
Well, before we start on any new questions, for listeners who either might not have caught the last show or can't recall the detail, can you just remind us briefly what the Swap One scheme is and how it works?
Sure. Swap One is an initiative of the Nelson Tasman Climate Forum, together with a local group called Mission Zero, also known as Businesses for Climate Action, and NELSUS, which is the Nelson Strategy, Nelson's Transport, Sustainable Transport Strategy Group. Nelson's yep. Kind of leading sustainable transport group. So the idea behind Swap One is pretty simple. We're inviting people once a week to swap their commute in a petrol or diesel vehicle for a low carbon option. That may be taking the bus, riding a bike, walking to work, ride sharing, driving an EV, or maybe even working from home. People sign up on our website and they will get weekly emails to tell us how many high carbon trips they've swapped for low carbon trips the previous week. Anyone in New Zealand can sign up and be part of Swap One. And logging trips on our web app is really easy. It takes literally a few seconds of your morning and you're on your way. Just because if everyone in Nelson swapped one trip a week, we'd cut emissions in Nelson by around 4%, which is half of the annual target in Nelson City Council's climate strategy. So that's swap one.
Excellent, great. And without wanting to sound, have too wild a guess, maybe it would be 4% in other centres that got the scheme going as well. So be interesting to look at that another time.
Indeed.
Okay, last time when you were talking about, you touched on a number of intriguing initiatives. You were talking about prizes and things like that, and I'm hoping you can unpick them in a bit more detail, Jim. And can we please start with one that I noticed really appealed to my warped sense of humour? You have what you call the Biggest Loser event. Can you kick off with talking about that, please?
Sure. The Biggest Loser is an award for the person who, at the end of the program, has saved the most carbon emissions by swapping out fossil fuel trips that they were doing prior to swap one. Now, we'll probably have a couple of runners up in that category too, and so it's just a way to try to capture the public's imagination and say, over the course of the program, can you be the biggest loser? Can you avoid the most emissions and get a bit of friendly competition going, and we might see how we go on that. We're still recruiting prizes from sponsors, so if you're interested in being the biggest loser, sign up and start logging your trips, and we'll be announcing a prize soon in the coming weeks.
I'll put up $100 from my firm Resilience towards the prize pool there, Jim.
Oh, thank
I
you,
love the
Lindsay.
Biggest Loser, and I'd love to support it and hear
Fantastic.
people campaigning to try to be the Biggest Loser. I like it.
But we also have monthly draws, and the more times you log trips, the more entries you'll get in the draw. And for October, our prize is going to be a family pass to the Brook Nature Sanctuary, which is for those who don't know, it's a pest-free sanctuary here in Nelson that's recently introduced to Otara and Kiwi, and it's got lovely regenerating bush and bird life. Wonderful place to take your family for an afternoon. And we also have a chance to win a fantastic e-bike that's been donated by a local shop in Nelson, Electrify New Zealand. And we're working out the criteria for that prize, but it'll likely be people who sign up and log trips prior to Christmas in some variation. So again, if you want to win a new e-bike and be in for a chance, then sign up and start logging your trips on Swap One.
Any other things you've got on? I've heard word about breakfasts and what do they involve?
Well, in the last show, we talked about the commute clinics we're going to be running in workplaces to help people in workplaces identify bus routes or bike routes and strategies, maybe taking their bike on the bus or their scooter on the bus. So lots of things we're doing there. I talked about the work ride scheme last time, where employees can get a discount on purchasing a bike through their employer. So that's a really good thing. We're running an event during Nelson's Climate Festival, which is happening in, I think it's the 17th to the 29th of October. I'm not sure what the dates there. Sorry, but that our breakfast is on Thursday morning, the 23rd of October, at the 1902 Square at the top of Trafalgar Street, just opposite the church steps. Sorry.
Think it's the 1903 square. I was
Ah,
corrected on that myself.
thank you. Come along and get a free breakfast and learn a bit more about Swap One.
Going.
Something else that I haven't mentioned is that we also have a companion program that we're running with schools called Travel Friendly. And we currently have Victory School, St. Joe's, and Stoke School that we're working with. And we're designing a program for each school that'll be a special program that the students and the staff at that school design with us for their school. And we'll be doing regular surveys to find out how many are using low carbon options. And then hopefully in the new year, we'll be extending that to some more schools. So lots of different things going on with Swap One and our companion program, Travel Friendly.
Oh, that's so impressive, Jim. And you picked up earlier on your commute clinics, and I was at a meeting just last night where people were talking about an example of that, where a big employer in Nelson didn't think people could easily get to their place by bus because the employer didn't realize about the interchange options, that people just had to do one swap and they could get from anywhere in the system to their place. And
Yeah.
another employer who was unaware of a really good bike route that bypassed the roads near them and therefore made cycling a lot more feasible to get to them. So good on you. The commute clinics sound a fabulous idea. So thank you for that. Several of the initiatives seem like they might work best if they're in collaboration between employees and employers? Well, you have talked about that. But what's the key message you'd like to get out to employers, Jim, including the likes of in Nelson Schools and NMIT, to help them get a handle on how they can help make the scheme work really well? And I think in there, what's in it for them? You know, it's one thing to help other people do things well, but people like to have a bit of self-interest in that too. So it'd be good to hear your views on that.
Well, we think that Swap One is a great employee engagement program. It says to your employees that your business cares about climate change. And if your business signs up for the WorkRide scheme, you can help your employees buy a bike at a discounted price, for example. If businesses sign up for Swap One, we'll give them regular reports on how many total trips their staff have swapped and how many tons of carbon emissions they've avoided. And best of all, our team will support the business by providing them with draft emails, posters, and other materials to make it super easy for a business to be involved. Businesses can go to the Swap One website today and they can click on the business tab and find out more, and they can join the program.
Does it cost them anything, Jim, or is it?
Nope, there's no cost. We're just happy to have people involved and happy to have them in promoting Swap One to their employees. Now, if a business wanted to have a special prize program for their employees, we could help them set something up, and those prizes would be a cost that they would do themselves. But unless if they just want to be part of the program, there's no cost.
Well, that's outstanding. I love to hear, and I love the way you're integrating it all. That's really terrific. Well, we have to keep moving on, Jim, but one thing I wanted to touch on, and that is that you've got a big background in Nelson long before you got involved with Swap One. You're well known around the region as being a senior scientist at the Cawthron Institute, and I know you retired from there a couple of years ago. But I'd love it if you could tell us a little bit about the sort of work you did at Cawthron, and if maybe what climate connections it's got and that sort of thing. So over to
Sure.
you. Please
Sure.
share your
Thanks,
background.
Lindy. As you've alluded, I worked at the Cawthron Institute for 16 years as a social scientist, and I worked in across a wide range of environmental policy areas, from freshwater management to marine biosecurity, coastal management, exploring the concept of social license and collective management and collective action, and many other areas. My focus for the last 5 years has been on, or was on, investigating the potential for catchment groups to be a mechanism for breaking the deadlock over freshwater policy in New Zealand. I think there's a lot of potential for catchment groups, but progress has been pretty slow. And I'm not sure that most catchment groups are currently organized in a way that will make significant progress. We've put out quite a bit of research on this, and there's people want to search for catchment groups and Jim Sinner on the internet, they'll come up with some of our reports and papers, I'm sure. But I
Right.
think that catchment groups, to be more effective, really need to have a plan that identifies the key threats and lays out a coherent and effective plan to address those issues in their catchment, including what actions are needed at particular places within the catchment. And that might involve some changes in land use practices and not just planting trees along the riverbanks. I think catchment groups have got some interesting and important links with climate change. Among other things, climate change is likely to have some really major effects in our waterways, possibly
Well,
overwhelming.
don't we know that from the impacts on Tasman this last couple of months?
Indeed. And it's not just the short-term impacts of floods. It's also what they might do to the ecology of those rivers. And I guess another point that's really relevant is that farming could become more and more fragile economically and socially, especially in the hill country. Yeah, because of these linkages to climate change with catchments, I think it's important that we look at solutions at a catchment scale, and catchment groups can certainly be a part of that. We need to work together as communities and build stronger communities to address these challenges that are coming. And again, catchment groups can be an important way to build communities, but they need to think about solutions that are durable in terms of land use and land use change over time. We can't just think we can stay the way we are because things will have to change. So I think that the challenge remains how to support catchment groups and their wider communities to address these problems in a rigorous way, rather than ad hoc feel-good measures that leave everyone exposed to the next event.
Oh, wow. Well, I have to say, Jim, I feel we're very lucky to have you in the region with both that background and also your current energy you're putting into the Swap One initiative. However, all good things come to an end, and including our interviews. So listeners know it's a tradition on this show, at least Nelson listeners do, and Canterbury listeners, you'll find out. But I love to offer our guests what I call a magic climate strategy wand. And that is, if you could conjure up one climate strategy, a local one or a national one, and not necessarily focused on Swap One, what would it be, and why do you give it pride of place?
Well, it's tempting to say congestion charging because, or time of use road pricing, because transport is such a big part of Nelson's emissions, and congestion charging could drive a lot of behavior change. But I'm going to be a little more provocative, perhaps, and say that we could get a bigger impact on the climate from putting a real price on methane emissions from agriculture, which is New Zealand's biggest source of emissions. We need to reduce climate force emissions rapidly to avoid severe effects on the climate. And those are effects that we will feel here in Nelson as even more damaging storms than we've seen in the past 5 years. And methane is a very powerful gas that has a strong effect on global warming. And cutting methane emissions is actually the best way globally and nationally to reduce New Zealand's contribution to climate change really quickly. And we're up against some pretty tough timelines here. We're already pushing 1.5 degrees globally as a temperature increase, and we need to make a quick impact to get that warming effect down, and reducing methane emissions is actually the fastest way to do that. Because New Zealand has procrastinated on agricultural emissions, we now have to reduce CO2 emissions elsewhere in the economy even more. It's sometimes said, or often said, that New Zealand got rid of its agricultural subsidies in the 1980s. But in fact, we're just subsidizing agriculture in different ways by not holding the sector responsible for its effects on the environment. Starting to price methane from agriculture is the single biggest thing that New Zealand could do for the climate, and by extension, for our children and grandchildren.
Yay. Well, I'm always interested to know what people are going to say, and I didn't expect you to talk about methane, but I'm very pleased you did, Jim. Because I think what a lot of people don't realize is that methane, because it's a fairly short-lived gas, as soon as we stop emitting it, we start to get the benefits of lower global warming, don't we? Whereas the likes of carbon dioxide, we emit a puff of carbon dioxide and it stays in the air for centuries, contributing to warming. So thank you for that. I hope that not only councillors are listening, but I hope some government ministers are listening to this interview, because there's a message there for them. They're preparing a methane statement coming out very shortly, I understand, before the end of the year. And I'd love to think that your magic wand cast a spell on the Minister for Climate Change, Simon Watts. Well, Jim, we really have reached the end. And many thanks. And just before we go, later this week, you've got a special event on, so please remind our listeners what it is and how they can get involved.
Thanks, Lindsay. Later this week, on Thursday, the 23rd of October, we have a low carbon commute breakfast to celebrate celebrate people who are currently commuting by bike, bus, etc., or thinking about it, want to know more. So it's going to be at the 1903 Square on the top of Trafalgar Street, opposite the Cathedral Steps in Nelson. A free breakfast and some fellowship and camaraderie with like-minded people. Come along and be part of the crowd. And if you want to join Swap One, you can go to www.swapone.nz and click Join Now. Thanks, Lindsay.
Oh, fantastic. And I'm so glad that you said anyone who's interested. So you don't have to be on the program to come along to that breakfast. If you come and just engage and want to learn more, that's enough reason.
Absolutely. We'd love to see you.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, I hope to get a free breakfast out of you. I'm certainly interested. That's terrific. Thanks so much, Jim. It's been lovely to have your company and your insights. So good luck with your great Swap One initiative.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Jim Sinner, that is such a cool scheme. I do hope Swap One takes off not only in Nelson, but also finds people applying it elsewhere in the country. Really good. I'm looking forward to getting updates on that. Anyway, as you know, you're listening to Fresh FM, the top of the South's community access radio station. Fresh FM broadcasts in Blenheim on 88.9, to Eastern Golden Bay on 95.0, to the Nelson CBD on 107.2, and across the Nelson-Tasman region on 104.8. It's also streamed to the planet on freshfm.co.nz and podcasts of Climate Matters and of other locally produced shows are available through freshfm.co.nz and also, of course, through Plains Media and through Arrow FM. So you can go to those local radio station websites and you should find details of Climate Matters there. And on that note, this is Lindsay Wood thanking you for your company, wishing you a good week, and of course, as always, kia kaha for the climate.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.